And we continue to give you a chance to react to the testimony of the day in the George Zimmerman trial. And we'll do this every night on the Scoot Show during the trial. We have other things to talk about, but we'll also give you a chance to react to the testimony that you've seen, the testimony that you've heard or read about. Our WWL Pretty Jagball opinion poll tonight is, do you think George Zimmerman was the aggressor? Right now, 55% say no, he was not, and 45% say yes, he was. Give us your opinion by going to WWL.com. We're tracking that poll throughout our show. It's a close poll. We'll see if it stays that way throughout the night. The Scoot blog tonight is something else we're talking about. Zimmerman and Martin, who was the aggressor? And I got an email just a moment ago from somebody who says that I'm wrong about who was the aggressor. I have watched every minute of the trial. First of all, George Zimmerman was out of his truck looking for an address when the 911 operator told him to go back to his truck, which he did. But Martin attacked him before he could get back to his truck. Well, that's one story. First of all, I haven't said who's the aggressor. So it's really interesting to me how people hear what they want to hear. And that's something of being in this business for a long time that I have understood for a very long time. I can't control what I I can control what I say, but I can't control what you think I hear. Here is a text that reads, Scoot, you sound so disappointed Zimmerman is going to be found innocent of killing a black boy. That sounds like a very racist comment to me. And I've had people send me texts saying that I am a traitor to my race. I don't know a damn thing to my race. And I hope you don't either. You don't know anything to somebody just because of their skin color. And I certainly don't. My opinion is based on what I think is right and what I think is wrong. If somebody hears what they want to hear, I'm not sounding disappointed if George Zimmerman is going to be found innocent and for killing a black boy. But do you think I would be not disappointed if he killed a white guy? I don't understand what you're trying to say here, but I hope you feel better. I hope it was cathartic for you to get that out. But that's a very racist comment. I'm for justice. We all should be for justice. I wasn't there, nor were you. But there are some things from the very beginning of this that I have not liked. And I haven't been comfortable with the idea that somebody took it upon himself to become a neighborhood watch volunteer and ended up shooting and killing somebody. Dave Newman is with Concealed Carry NOLA, and he is very, very well trained and very well versed on all of this topic. Dave, welcome to our show tonight.
How you doing tonight, Scoot?
Good. Dave, you know a lot about who might be an aggressor and who's not an aggressor. And I want your professional opinion. I don't want this to necessarily be your personal opinion of this case. But as somebody who trains people to carry concealed weapons, as somebody who is the expert that you are, what's your observation of this trial so far? It seems to me that it really comes down to the question of who was the aggressor.
Well, it's a big part of it. From my point of view, as a person that trains people before they get a permit to carry a gun concealed, I would never tell anyone to go towards something that seemed to be a threat. If you don't want to avoid going to court, like George is on trial right now, if you want to avoid what I call the gray area of the law, it's not always cut and dry, black and white, as you can tell from this trial. It's not always cut and dry. In this case, it's not. We weren't there that night. And so far from what I've seen from the witnesses and testimony, even the people that were there right after it happened or heard the screams and were in the homes near where it happened, nobody actually saw when it started. And that's really going to be the key to the case is can they prove as the defense witness for George, the defense attorney for George, they're going to have to try and prove that Trayvon definitely made the first aggressive act once they were confronting each other. But like I said, I would never have any one of my students, I would not advise them to go towards anything that was perceived to be a threat. The police told him not to go towards the threat. They didn't need him to follow them, to follow Trayvon, and he did anyway. So that's a large reason why he's even on a trial right now anyway.
Dave, if George Zimmerman was one of your students, would you be disappointed in the position he's in?
Would
you be disappointed in him?
Very disappointed.
Do you think there are those who teach people what to do with guns, those who train those who have concealed carry permits, do they train them to be aggressive, or should it, I know what it should be, but is it always a case of, look, this gun is for defending yourself and protecting life and property. It's not for aggressive maneuvers. It's not to give you confidence to go out and be an aggressor.
Right. Well, that's what I teach. I can't speak for everyone. And I've had people that have taken renewal classes with me that were taught different than what I teach. Basically, if you go towards a threat, you open yourself up to this kind of legal action. I always tell people that no matter where you go, if you have a permit and you're carrying a gun, realize that wherever you go, there's going to be a gun there because you brought it. So therefore, you should try your best to never get in any kind of confrontational situation where you might have to use it because you brought the gun to the scene. Like in this case, the gun that was there that was used was the one that George brought. Now, he has every right to stand his ground and meet force with force, and if the case proves out that he did not make the first physical aggressive move, and in Florida law, it may be different than Louisiana law, and he might walk. I mean, it all depends on what you can prove in a court of law.
Yeah. We're talking to Dave Newman. He's with Concealed Carry NOLA, very well-versed and highly qualified instructor here in the New Orleans area. I think there's a lesson to learn from this, and that is you just can't carry a gun to go out and fight crime. If you carry a gun to protect yourself, to protect your life and your property, that's one thing. But one thing that has bothered me from the very beginning of this story breaking is George Zimmerman seemed to have this idea that it was his responsibility to be armed and to patrol a neighborhood, which meant that he was going to do more than just watch.
Well, it appears that kind of seems like what he was thinking, and that's kind of what the prosecution is trying to prove, that was his intent. And it's kind of hard to get in someone's mind, but, you know, your actions sometimes speak louder than words. So that's why I always tell my students that the best move to make always is to try to get away. If you are trying to retreat from what is perceived to be a threat, and it still comes after you, that threat is still coming upon you, and then you have no choice but to return force with force, then you have less of a chance of going to trial over it anyway.
Dave,
what you want.
Do you ever get the impression that there are some people who come to your classes to get a concealed carry permit, and they're there for the wrong reason? They want a gun for the wrong reason?
Yeah, I've had that happen before.
And what do you do?
I've had to turn some people down. I don't take everyone. I mean, I've had someone call me and repeatedly call me trying to get into one of my classes, and all he wanted to do was learn how to shoot fast. The phone call reminded me very much of 9/11 when the guys just wanted to learn how to fly the planes but not land the planes.
That's a really good point.
So I said, you know, if you want to get a permit, sir, you might want to call someone else. You don't seem to want to learn about gun safety. You don't seem to want to learn about how to avoid confrontation, which is a lot of what I teach, is how to avoid confrontation, how to use the color codes of awareness. Awareness is 90% self-defense. If you're not aware of a threat, how can you avoid a threat? If you're not aware of a threat, how can you defend yourself against a threat? You know, and all of that stuff is to help you avoid ever, hopefully, never using this firearm. It's the weapon of last resort.
Since the question has come up, would George Zimmerman have even gotten out of his truck if he didn't have a gun? He obviously thought this was a person who was displaying suspicious behavior, so he got out of his truck. Would he have gotten out of his truck if he didn't have a gun? And that leads to the question of whether or not owning a gun and carrying a gun puts people in situations that they wouldn't have been in without the gun, and is that the right reason to have a gun?
Well, that's why in my training we talk about the way I was trained myself. The proper knowledge, skills, and attitude, and the last one is the most important and necessary to own a firearm. If you don't have the proper knowledge, skills, and attitude, all three of them, then you shouldn't own one.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm all for, believe me, I'm NRA certified on multiple levels. I'm all for people having the right to keep and bear arms. I'm all for the Stand Your Ground law. A lot of people don't understand what Stand Your Ground means, and they should take a class so they understand it. People that are against it probably most of the time don't understand what it means.
Well,
but it doesn't give you the right to just suddenly say, I'm in fear of my life and you should die.
That's well, it's obvious. It's also obvious, Dave, that there are people who support the Stand Your Ground concept and they don't understand it.
I agree.
I've talked about this case of a retired Houston firefighter, and he had a gun, and he got in an argument with his neighbor who lived across the street because of a noisy party. He went across the street, continued the argument with his neighbor, shot his neighbor in his neighbor's yard, and claimed self-defense, and said that, the Texas law, I think, is the Castle Doctrine, which is a Stand Your Ground kind of law. I think that's the name of it. He claimed that it was self-defense. I don't think you can go to somebody else's property and claim self-defense.
No, you can't. And that, was that the guy that videotaped the whole thing and wound up convicting himself with the video?
Oh, yeah, he's in jail.
Yeah. Well, you're wrong about cancel doctrine, though. Let me clarify something. The way our laws are based, let me clear this up really quickly. Our laws, we're the first Stand Your Ground state, by the way, in the United States. And the reason for that is our laws are based on what's called Napoleonic Code. And in Napoleonic Code, it's not a separate law, but it's a clause within several of our laws where it says you have the right to stand your ground and meet force with force. It doesn't say you have the right to escalate force, but you have the right to meet force with force. So therefore, if someone is threatening you with a lethal force, you can return it with a lethal force. That's what Stand Your Ground means. But in most other states, their laws are based on Castle Doctrine because they were a British colony before they became part of the United States. So they took the British laws, kind of started with that as a basis for their state's laws, and then kind of went on from there. In Castle Doctrine, you have to try to retreat prior to using deadly force. So that means if someone is threatening you with deadly force, unless there's a Stand Your Ground law in that state where their laws are based on Castle Doctrine, you have to try to retreat prior to using deadly force to defend yourself.
Well, I like that there's somebody like you that so understands the law that is teaching the people how to carry a gun and do it properly.
That's why I do it, because, I mean, just like recently in the last few days, we've had several people that have accidentally shot people cleaning guns, which blows me away. I can't believe that people are trying to clean a gun and it's still loaded and things like that. It's, you know, people that, you know, they would spend, an hour reading a manual for a stereo, but they won't read the manual for their owner's manual for their gun. And you're talking about something that can take someone's life, even your child's, and you won't even spend time doing that.
I talked about this on the show last night. There was a case over the weekend of a grandfather who was cleaning his gun. He left the gun for a few moments. His 4-year-old grandson picked up the gun and shot and killed his 6-year-old granddaughter right there. And he left the gun unattended.
And why was it, if he was cleaning it, why was it loaded?
That was another question that came up. Yeah.
First rule of gun safety, when you're cleaning a gun, make sure it's unloaded.
Dave Newman, thanks for what you do. Concealed carry, NOLA, thanks for being with us on the Scoot Show on WWL.
Anytime, Scoot.
All right, thanks. If you want to join our show with a comment about anything we're talking about, our number's 260-1870. Toll free, 866-889-0870. And our text number is 870-870. Here's a text that reads, traitor to your race, Zimmerman's not even Caucasian. Exactly. But that's how racist some people really are. And they hide behind this idea that it's not about race, but it really is. And if you're a racist, I suggest that you search your own soul and determine whether you are or not. And if you are, why don't you work on changing? Maybe it's time.